World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Caught me typing because this just popped into my brain. If you could real quick, Spencer, go to Bible Gateway and pull up James chapter 5. Bible Gateway, James chapter 5. I just heard from the Holy Spirit. James chapter 5. Let's go down to start about verse 14, see what we get. Verse 14, it says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Man, that's powerful. Just that one sentence, the effectual, fervent. Hey, Spence, Johnny on the spot here, buddy. Go to Webster. What's effectual? Effectual, I mean, I love this. Webster's because they always have scripture in there. Effectual means producing an effect. Or a desire, or the effect desired or intended, or having adequate power or force to produce the effect, meaning it's effectual. According to the gift of grace, God given me by the effectual working of his power. What good is God's power if it doesn't bring an effect? If it's not effectual, what good is it? What good is it? I've often been struck by what we just read back there in James. If you go back there, Spencer, the Bible says that the effectual, fervent, maybe we better look that up. Fervent. The effectual, fervent, hot, boiling, ardent, very warm, earnest, excited, animated, glowing, fervent in spirit, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Three conditions I'm seeing here. The effectual, fervent, righteous. Effectual, fervent, righteous. Three conditions. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. For the effectual, having the effect, prayer of a righteous man, the effectual, fervent, the purposeful, hot prayer of a person in right standing with God availeth much. Why aren't our prayers more effectual? Why aren't our prayers more effectual? Is it God or is it us? Can we sit around and just say, oh, Lord Jesus, please bless Timmy and Tommy today, Lord, and give them a good day. And please be with Martha and Mary and take good care of them. And, oh, don't forget that Tommy has that sore toe. Is that, folks, effectual? Ray, would you call that fervent? Would you call that what I just prayed fervent? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I've been thinking about this. Bear with me a second. I've been thinking about what Randy's been doing with the staking and The Georgia Guidestone's coming down. And Randy walking to the threshold at Hillary's and breaking that threshold. And looking across as we go stake all of the courthouses. Go stake city councils. Is something being effectual? Is it having an effect? And if it's having an effect, why are we shocked? When the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to believe God. Can you find that? Where is that? Hang on, stay with me. I'm on a roll here this morning.
Hebrews 11:6.
Hebrews 11:6. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that... There's one, another one of those words, Spencer. Diligent. What is diligent? He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hot. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Steady in application, steadily applied, prosecuted with care and constant effort, careful, assiduous, as make diligent search, steady in application, constant in effort or exertion to accomplish what is undertaken, assiduous, attentive, industrious, not idle or negligent, and it's applied to persons. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But without faith, it is possible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently. Do we diligently seek him? Do you diligently seek the Lord in your fervent prayer? Because if your prayer isn't fervent, it seems to me it's not effectual. If your prayer isn't fiery and built and mixed with faith and trust and belief, it doesn't seem to me like it's effectual. What is ineffectual? Ineffectual means it didn't work. And truth be told, most of us walk our lives in ineffectual Christianity. Vinny, that would be a boom. That right there would be a boom.
Boom.
We offer up prayers. We just kind of mouth stupid little prayers. We don't understand that we're at war. You guys ever watch at the end of a football game or at the end of a basketball game or when the game is on the line, the fervency, enthusiasm with which the players play at that moment when the game is on the line? Hey, friends, do you think the game's on the line? Do we think the game's on the line or not? Are we effectually, fervently praying for Bill Dunphy? Are we effectually, fervently praying for the J6ers? Are we effectually, fervently praying that the walls would fall down? Are we effectually, fervently praying that the kingdoms of darkness would collapse? I would say the answer to that question is, somebody want to give me that answer? Are we, Betty? Are we doing that? No. So see, it's not that God doesn't answer prayer. He tells us what kind of prayer he answers. Effectual, fervent, diligent. That's the kind that he answers. And how many have nothing wrong with just throwing a prayer up on your way to work? I do that a lot. We go, Lord, Lord, cover us, Lord Jesus. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you go to war, baby. When you go to war, your prayers better be effectual. They better be fervent. You better be all in, baby. Because if you do, they availeth much. By the way, what's availeth mean, Spence? Availeth. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. Avail. That'd be okay. You can pull up avail. To profit oneself. I'm sorry, avail. To be strong or able to profit, to be of force or authority to assist or profit, to affect the object or bring to successive issues, what will skill avail us? It's a intransitive verb.
Coach, so look at James 4:3, Coach.
James 4:3. We don't believe half what we pray. Sorry. We don't really believe. We beg. We maybe throw up a dart on the way by. I'm looking for something right here. You ask and receive not because you what? Ask amiss? Huh? We're asking for the wrong stuff? We're initiating the wrong power? We're using the wrong weapon? Here's what I know. When we got a hold of somewhere as only God can do it, the idea of staking came up. Randy really, really latched onto it. And we did some staking, and we went and staked all 12, thank you, Randy, all 12 federal courthouses on the same day. Well, what day was that, Randy? Craig always knows dates. Was it November 11th?
September 17th.
Thank you. September 17th.
It was Constitution Day, Coach.
Thank you. Constitution Day. We went and we staked and prayed, prayer walked, read scripture at the 17, isn't that 12, whatever, I'm losing sight of my federal courthouses in America. And we tore the kingdoms down, which is what the scripture tells us to do. Pull down strongholds that our legal justice system had been stolen under the hands of Luciferian power. And under the guidance of Randy, we have been going out and prayer walking, staking, and pulling down these strongholds at these courthouses. And we're beginning to see miracles happen at the U.S. Supreme Court. We're beginning to see miracles happen in the district court. And we prayer walked, when we were down in Nashville, Tennessee, we prayer walked the federal building in Nashville, Tennessee. Little did we know that, yeah, I guess we did know at that time, that would be the courthouse where the Tennessee 10, however many of them are, were going to be tried. Little did we know. But we were just obedient. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We prayer walked. We took authority over it. And we spoke to those principalities. We told Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords over the judicial system. All power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. And we did it. And we went. We prayer walked that thing. And yesterday, when the Tennessee 10 or 11, whatever the number is, appeared in court for their sentencing on face charges, and the judicial decision came down yesterday. I'll let Dale talk more about it here in a second. And the judge said, no jail time, no fine, 6 month house arrest, case closed. Hang on. Yeah, 10. That's right. Thank you, Ray. It's 11. One turned on the other, so it became 10. Today, three more are going to appear before the same in the same courtroom against the same judge that yesterday said no jail time, no fine to people who did nothing more than peacefully pray inside of a murder mill. That's all they did. The local Nashville police did not charge them. They charged them with nothing. The feds got involved. That Luciferian high priest, Merrick Garland, got involved and charged them with face violations, which bring up to 30 years in jail, face federal access to clinic entrances. In the meantime, the United States Supreme Court ruled that there is no constitutional right to murder your baby. It's a state's issue. So yesterday, showed up in court for sentencing, and the federal judge said, no jail time, no fine, house arrest, be a good boy. Now, is that a quinky dink? Or did the effectual, fervent prayer of righteous men and women avail much? Meant a lot to him yesterday. Promise you that. Dale, come on in here real quickly, because Dale, God bless you. Dale's everywhere, man. Dale's everywhere. And he, yes, was down, he was down there in Tennessee yesterday.
It's like that song, yeah. I've been everywhere, man.
There were about 300 people there. Is that right?
Goodness. Last night, it was, if there wasn't 400 people, I would be surprised. But at the courthouse, yeah, there was 300 people. And, yeah, Coach, it was back in January when that storm named Heather, right, Heather, came through and froze the city and showed the mercy to the judge, don't do this, right? Yep. I sat next to Rusty Thomas yesterday outside that courtroom, and I said, Rusty, I'm going to tell you, this is what I'm seeing in my spirit. It was one of the hottest days in Tennessee for that day. It was 95 with a feel like of 102 outside that courthouse. And I told Rusty, I said, we went from that extreme of the mercies of God to feel the present judgment of God putting his finger, don't do it. And I said, Rusty, this sentencing today has nothing to do with Paul Vaughn, and it has everything to do with this judge. Don't do it. And Coach, even Steve Crampton, his attorney, everybody thought for sure that there was going to be jail time. But Coach, we staked all four corners of that courthouse. And one of the people that were with us doing that, he's up number two today, Coleman Boyd, Dr. Coleman Boyd. And doctor. So, yes, doctor. Doctor. Yep.
And yesterday, so, Dale, and yesterday, they wanted to, the Merrick Garland justice system wanted to lock up, help me out here, Dale, father of 13, is that right?
Yes, Paul Vaughn.
Paul Vaughn, father of 13, went to jail yesterday, probably convinced that he was going to be away from his 13 children for trying to rescue an unborn child. And got
so here's his charges. He got no jail time, which just, right, 6 months house arrest, but he's allowed to go to and from work, and he's allowed to go to any religious service. Guess where he was with last night, Coach? He was with, how awesome is that? And that, then he's got three years supervised probation. And the judge who even, because they also were facing $250,000 in fines. Jeez. Gave him no fine. He says, but look, I have to charge you this $125 court cost. It's like the Lord governed the heart of that magistrate, and to where she didn't even want to charge him $125. But Coach, here's what Steve Crampton, he spoke last night. He said this, the fact of the matter is that they broke no law. They broke no law. And so I believe that he might file for the appeal still, because as a convicted felon, he cannot vote. He cannot carry a gun to protect his family. So the little birdie on the wall, speaking with Cal last night, it might not be as,
because three of them go today, right, Dale? Three of them go today.
Yeah, and it might not as be as favorable. And the judge kind of let that out and said, so we're believing
it's going to be favorable.
Yeah. Yep.
Hang on a second. I thought I sent this to Spencer. I guess I didn't. Spencer, I'm going to hang on there a minute. My phone. So Dale, who goes in there today?
Cal Zastro is at 1 o'clock. Coleman Boyd is at 2 o'clock. Dennis Green is at 3 o'clock.
We need to be doing some effectual, fervent prayer for them all day, folks, that we would intercede on their behalf. Hang on a second. I'm sending this to Spencer right now. Bear with me. My computer, folks.
Coach, if you go to my Facebook page, anybody go, you can scroll down and see when that was over and the people came out in the rotunda, the entrance. Like normally, you go into a federal building, you're immediately going through metal detector. Well, this one has this big, huge amphitheater type of entrance area, all AC. And when they came out and they began to sing, brother.
I just sent it to him. Right,
oh,
here.
Did you? Okay.
This is after the hearing in the rotunda outside the building. Put back the beginning if you can, Vince. Hey, Dale, let me make a point here right now. So hold that picture right there. Friends, look, are you looking at me? You have to take your children to the battlefield. Your children need to see mommy and daddy standing up for Jesus. Look at that picture.
That's Lucas Childress right there, carrying his daughter. And you know, we were doing it, and I was like, oh, my gosh, Abigail, my daughter. I said, grab the phone and start recording. Coach, it was like a heavenly, it was so heavenly, that sound resonated. And you know that judge heard that. You know that judge heard that.
Amen. And Dale, as a witness, you raised your family on the streets, did you, Dale? Not on the streets, on contending for the faith, earnestly contending for the faith. You trained your children on the streets, did you not, Dale?
Every single one of them, Coach. From the moment they were out of the home into the infant babies, absolutely honing those arrows to strike their enemy.
Spencer, pull up. Maybe you can go to Create It Equal, Spencer, and pull up a picture for me of an aborted baby picture. Aborted baby picture. Because in my own, there they are. Just click on one of them. Click on the one down here at the far right, this little baby laying by himself. Click on that one. We had that picture, one similar to that, on a poster. We took it to the abortion clinic because people at the abortion clinic say, I'm sorry, a lot of people say, don't use the signs. Don't use those signs. It's disrespectful to the children and it's disrespectful to the women. Don't use those signs. We had those signs at the abortion mill. A little five-year-old kid walked up and touched that picture and said, hurt baby, mommy, hurt baby. The five-year-old child could recognize it. And adults ignore it. This has gone on. Coleman Boyd and Paul Vaughn and Eva Zastro and Eva Adel and Cal Zastro, they're laying down their lives. This is what the Bible calls us, C-A-L-L, calls us to do. Greater love has no man than this. And he would lay down his life for his friends. And the Supreme Court said there's no right to murder babies. And the wicked, wicked Department of Justice continues to prosecute where there is no crime. Friends, do you understand that the FACE Act, Freedom to Access Clinic Entrances, is a made-up law? It's not a law. The Supreme Court said that is not a law. How can they prosecute somebody on something that is not a law? Roger's got his hand up. Come on up, Roger.
There are some of these that I got jail sentence. You know, I've had a hard time keeping up. Didn't a grandma get jail for 2 years or something? Am I thinking of the right group of people?
No, she's Dale, can you step in and straighten that out for us?
Yeah. Okay, Heather Idoni. So there's three different situations. Washington, here in Tennessee, and then in Michigan. So she was part of the group up in Washington where they actually went into the clinic and they kind of did some things that they shouldn't have did. And we did not condone any of that because they literally took chairs and jammed the doorknobs and stuff. Okay. Listen, that right there in itself on FACE Act becomes the intimidation. The word in that word is the intimidation in that charge, which means to say verbally or cause bodily harm. And that was that picture. Anyway, so her sentencing is not until September, along with Chet Gallagher's sentencing in September, because they're also both in the Michigan case. And yes, they have different year sentences up there. Now, I don't got to raise my hand, Coach. July 30th this month, we'll be back up here. That's Eva Zastro, Oma Eva Adele, right? James Zastro. And I can't think of the fourth one right off my tongue, but they will be sentenced on July 30th.
All the same. They all did the same
thing. Yes, all the same day.
Yep. Folks, they just sat down inside the building and sang hymns and prayed. Wow. Well, Dale, my wife was punching me last night because she wanted to be there. She said, we should have been there, and we should have been there.
That's okay. Hey, that's why I'm saying July 30th, Coach. Come on, let's meet up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, we've been wanting to have Oma Eva on the show, right? She's going to be here.
Well, let's. She's going to be there when?
The 30th of July.
Okay, I got you. Okay, yep. Cool. We'll work towards that. Dale, appreciate you, man. Appreciate folks' effectual fervent. Somebody said, what about righteous? Oh, righteous. We're made righteous, folks. We're made righteous through the blood of Jesus. Now, we ought to behave righteously. But once you've been made righteous, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's continue to pray. Let's continue to stake courthouses. Let's continue to make a difference. Let's continue to swim against the flow. We are in a battle, in a war for absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievable. I got so many places to go here, Lord. Do this for me. I'm gonna go to it says it's okay, Truella. Pull that one up for me. This is powerful as well. I want to kind of weave here a minute, if I could, into the whole idea of vaccinations and, for lack of a better term, to call it voodoo science. Voodoo science. You know, they told us years and years and years and years and years ago that we had to get vaccines. Anybody out there remember the first vaccine that went nationwide? Anybody remember what that would have been? Anybody know?
Was it polio?
Smallpox, right?
I believe it was polio. And then it was smallpox. And then we went Sabin on Sunday. I don't know if you guys remember that. And at the beginning of this, it all looked good. Now we're to the point, I haven't had any children recently. How many vaccines are they given to children? How many vaccines does the average child take now, right? And are we dumb enough to think that, are we stupid enough to not realize that maybe vaccines are causing some of the problems we see medically? Maybe vaccines.
72, Coach.
72. 72 vaccines. Trust the science, trust doctors, trust, right? 72 different vaccines. As crazy as this sounds, could that be causing gender dysphoria? Could that be causing autism? Could that be causing a lot of these things, a lot of these childhood diseases, a lot of dementia? Could dementia show up as a result of vaccines? There you go, Coach, you an anti-vaxxer? I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I'm asking. And if you have a newborn child, they're going to jab that kid with just about everything that they possibly could. Now, Matt Tuella, this is sobering. It's always, Matt made this video. It's called It's Okay. And I want all of us to think about, are you looking at me? The cannibalization the cannibalization of babies. Body parts through the abortion industry. Do you know that vaccines are a result of the cannibalization of what they did to children? Do you know that, folks? Matt's going to show us this. This is hard to watch. Go ahead and play it.
That's me. I'm Ellie. Don't feel bad. It's okay. It was a long time ago. 1962. I just thought maybe you don't know about me. My parents didn't want me anyway. The doctors worked with scientists, and they took my organs out as soon as I was aborted. It had to be done right away because the organs need to be fresh. It's okay. It wasn't just me. There were 32 of us. They sent our organs to the United States for the experiments. It was my lung they ended up using. Fetal cell line WI-38. 38 because that's how much experiments they did on us. Fetal cell lines are used for all kinds of things, like vaccines. Mine was used to make MMR. You probably gave that one to your baby. I was one of the first fetal cell lines, but there's lots more from lots more babies. It's okay. I just thought maybe you haven't heard of us.
Hello. I'm David. I was killed a few years after Ellie. It's okay. The doctor said my mom had psychiatric reasons to not want me. My lung made MRC5. Five because it took five babies. Perhaps you had my shots? Rabies, polio, chickenpox.
Heck. 293 came from me. I'm Joanna. Did you hear about me? They used my cell line just now for the COVID vaccines. Heck, human embryonic kidney. But I wasn't an embryo. I was 3 months gestation. It's okay. No one knows how many babies it took for Heck 293. But there was 293 experiments, so it was a lot of babies. And no pain medication. That would ruin the cells. It's okay.
I'm Jordan.
They used my cell line to help with the COVID vaccines as well.
Percy 6. They took my eyes.
It's okay.
I'm Beau. In 2015, China tried something new for me and 8 other babies. It's called water bag abortion. To keep us alive as long as possible so the organs will be fresh. My lung made the Wovax 2 cell line. I'm not going to be the last one, though. There's going to be more after me.
And me.
And me.
And me.
And me.
It's okay.
It's okay. It's okay.
We just thought you ought to know.
Experiments were being performed on near-term alive aborted babies who were not even afforded the mercy of anesthetic as they writhed and cried in agony. And when their usefulness had expired, they were executed and discarded as garbage.
It's okay.
Well, that's a different perspective, isn't it? Think about how many babies have been experimented on for a vaccine for COVID or whatever it would be. Whatever, name it. Just think about it. We our minds don't go there, do they? It's for the what? It's for the common good, right? It's for the common good. So I'm going to take you here because this kind of, I've been asking myself, I don't know if you guys have, what makes somebody queer? What would make a perfectly healthy boy be attracted to other boys? That ain't natural, folks. That ain't natural. Better yet, what would make a perfectly normal girl think she's a boy? That ain't natural, man. What is going on? Spencer, pull up tranny vax. Yeah, share that video for sure. Share that video. What if trans is a vaccine injury? My mind went boom. Boom. Now I'm going to read this whole article. I'll put it in the chat. It says if trans is a vaccine injury, what other dysphoria could vaccines be causing? Spencer, good word. What's the dysphoria? I bet they don't even have that in Webster. What is that word? What does that mean? No word. Another created word, see? Go to the secular dictionary. Dysphoria. A state of dissatisfaction, anxiety, or restlessness. So they say they have, gender dysphoria. They feel uncomfortable being the sex that they are. What's causing it? What about stuff that they're putting in our foods? What about things that are putting in the water? What about stuff that we're eating out of? Something is causing these people. Yeah, gay frogs. Who they laughed at Alex Jones when he talked about gay frogs. Something going on. Now, this is different than the argument that you ought to be able to, we ought to be for gender mutilation. This is a different issue. Transgenderism could be the result of the Frankenstein experiments. We understand that. So this is in no way, shape, or form approving of transgenderism. I'm saying, what's the cause? Anybody remember the thalidomide babies? Thalidomide? Spencer, you say, what? Let's do this for the younger audience. Thalidomide. Just look that up. Thalidomide. There it is. Thalidomide.
Amen, coach. Amen.
Thalidomide babies. Thalidomide is an oral medication that's been used to treat a variety of conditions, including cancer, skin disorder, and HIV complications. But folks, that's not the big thing. Spencer, scroll on down to thalidomide babies. And this was during the Second World War where babies, they're there. Put one of those up there, where babies were born without limbs. And they found out that the thalidomide, which they gave to mothers for morning sickness, caused the babies to develop without appendages. Anybody know that? They buried that on us, didn't they? Thalidomide babies. Thalidomide babies. And they said, oh my goodness, we got to quit using thalidomide. I wonder what else in our desire to remain healthy we're taking that's killing us. transforming us into something we're not. Gender dysphoria, meaning your brain ain't working right. What? Somebody help me out here. Anybody remember anorexia? Anybody remember anorexia, bulimia? What's anorexia? Pull that up, Spencer. I remember the first guy I ever saw had anorexia. I was assistant wrestling coach at Mount Vernon High School, 1977. And he was losing weight to make the wrestling team. And he just kept getting less and less and less. And he wouldn't eat. And he came up with something called anorexia nervosa is what they called it. It's an eating disorder characterized by abnormally low body weight, an intense fear of gaining weight, and a distorted perception of weight. So people who have anorexia look in the mirror and think they're fat. It's a mental disorder. Some Karen Carpenter died from anorexia. She starved herself to death. What caused anorexia? We know. Probably some chemical, probably. In medical science desire to do away with sickness, they create more sicknesses. Look just at the effects of COVID. Look at the spin-off sicknesses and diseases from COVID, and they won't even admit it's from COVID. They won't even admit it. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Oh, I got one I want to get into. I don't know if I can do it right now. Pull up number 11 real quickly. Then I'm going to open it up. You ever hear the pineal gland? Oh, my goodness. Your pineal gland is a tiny endocrine gland in the middle of your brain that helps regulate your body's circadian rhythm by secreting the hormone melatonin. So without getting into detail right now, because I don't want to get buried on this show right here. The pineal gland is under assault. What's the pineal gland? Well, it's the gland that makes much of your body operate properly. We all have one, pineal gland, shaped like a pine cone. That's why they call it pineal gland. And it regulates your mind and it regulates your body. And the pineal gland is being poisoned by chemicals. So the people are not able to think clearly. Okay, hang on. One more. Pull up. Where was it? Is that it? No, that's not it. Hang on there. Hang on. No, no. Bear with me. Thank you very much. Pull up. Spencer's a standalone email. Says cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance. Now, friends, cognitive dissonance and the discomfort of holding conflicting beliefs. That's where many Americans are in what we call cognitive dissonance, meaning your inability to see what you see and reason properly. Signs of it, perceptions of it, feeling uncomfortable or doing something or making a decision, trying to justify or rationalize a decision you've made, feeling embarrassed or ashamed about something you've done and trying to hide your feeling, experiencing guilt or regret about something you've done in the past, doing things because of social pressure, fear of missing out. Examples of cognitive dissonance. You want to be healthy, but you don't want to exercise. Scroll on down a bit, Spence. You know that smoking and drinking is harmful, but you keep doing it anyway. You know that aborting babies is wrong, but you keep voting for Democrats. You have a long to-do list, but you don't get them done. Cognitive dissonance. Much of it could be chemical. Much of it could be programming. Vaccines. The inability of the mind to function properly. Michelle, come on in.
Good morning. Thanks, Coach. Wow. Boy, you brought up the pineal gland, and that's very esoteric. I want to hit on that expose article just real quick, because there's one connection that is, I think, crucial people hear about. In those, in that expose article, it explains, I believe it was 23 studies that link not only this gender dysphoria, but these with the gender dysphoria, a huge percentage of them fall on the autism scale.
Yep.
So although I know we can say, yes, it's the social so-called norms of society that could be leading children and the teachers pushing it in their faces, but some of it is definitely more than that. And there's scientific proof, I thought, if it can link up autism to these same kids who are functioning with gender dysphoria, I think we have to look at the vaccines as a possible cause for this explosion. And what a great way to cover it up if we make everybody think they've got gender dysphoria because of every single little problem in their life is because you were supposed to be a boy instead of a girl or vice versa.
Yep. Oh my goodness. Now look, friends, we feel bad. I do. I feel bad for somebody who's gay. I feel bad for them. I can't imagine what that'd be like. They said they feel like they were born that way. Okay. What about a little thalidomide baby? Do we tell people that thalidomide babies are normal? No, they're injured. They're injured.
Yes.
Well, this will win me some friends. Homosexuals are injured. Transgenders are injured. They're injured. They didn't choose to be gay. They didn't choose to be transgender. They're injured. But at the same time, we have to maintain some semblance of order and can't normalize that which is a defect. You understand?
Also, that plays into the cognitive dissonance because the parents, of course, gave these babies their shots. So no one wants to own up to the fact that they were malinformed. They were misinformed. And instead of fighting, they don't look at it and they just accept it as natural. And worst of all, God's will.
Amen. So cognitive dissonance is the inability to look at Joe Biden and understand something's wrong. Cognitive dissonance is the ability to understand that we could be at a nuclear war tomorrow and that the president of the United States is incapable of making that decision and voting for him again. That's cognitive dissonance, folks. Live and well right in front of us. Randy, come on in.
This is a great connection, Coach. This is what you're seeing it. Coach, this is nothing less than modern day sorcery and witchcraft.
That's right, brother.
It's masquerading as a high-tech godless science, Coach.
That's Amen.
All it is. It's nothing new, but we finally are seeing the truth.
Amen.
Amen.
They take unborn babies and they use them in experiments to create vaccines. I don't know about you guys. That would be called, I believe, cannibalism. Would it not be? See, the money behind Planned Parenthood isn't just for women's rights. It's for getting the babies so they can do this Frankenstein experimentation on them. We haven't picked up on that. We still don't understand what's going on. It's not about killing babies, although it is. It's about sacrificing the babies in the name of science. Where are they getting these babies to operate on? Where are they getting them? And by the way, if you go to a murder mill and you try to stand up and protect the babies, they're going to throw your ass in jail, baby. Huh? Huh? You're right, Janine. It's in your food. It's in the water that you drink. Thank God I'm out in country. Thank God I'm not in city water. Do you have any idea what's in city water that you might be drinking? So, oh, Coach, no. They run it through filters. They clean the water before we drink. Oh, yeah? What do they clean it with? Huh? I love to do this. People say, they get a drink of water. Say, that water tastes good. Oh, that water tastes good. I said, well, you better put it down. You better put it down. because water doesn't have a taste. Did you hear me, friends? Water doesn't have a taste. So if your water tastes good, it ain't water. It ain't water only, right? Sweeteners, whatever they've added to it. Oh, boy. Soylent Green is people. You're right. I remember that. Boy, was that prophetic. Jeff Klein, come on in.
Coach, it's a kind of tie-in. I'm going to end it with a pastor prayer request. Last night in the garage, I used the situations of the staking and the courthouses and stuff Randy's doing. I used him a lot. And so I went to Deuteronomy 28. And these people, I don't even think they ever heard of it. The cursings and the blessings. Oh, my goodness. So I hammered them on that. It's like, what are we doing? So we got discussing this. And I told him, I said, you know, Randy's done, I forget how many courthouses just in his own state. And the one woman said, well, he must not have a job. I said, oh, yeah, he has a job. He's very busy.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's like, they're just, it's almost you want to use the word plumb dumb. So I went through all this, told him the seriousness. I said, you know what? I'm feeling guilty. I hadn't even done my own courthouse or Lincoln County Courthouse or Richland County. You know what I mean? Close ones. Randy's running all over the state doing these. And I said, now look at what's coming down. I told him, shared with your text you sent me about no jail time, no fine, and more coming up. We got to be praying. So then I showed him a picture of a little six-month-old baby. It's Mary Jane's nephew's child, 6 months old, died in his sleep. Beautiful little baby. We got to go there this morning down to Guernsey County, Byesville, Ohio, for this funeral of a six-month-old little girl. And this boy, her nephew, he'd had a rough life, younger, but he was so happy he got married, wife got pregnant, they're going to have this baby, and the videos I've seen of him playing peekaboo with it and telling her how much daddy loves you, honey, and all of a sudden the baby's dead. Yeah. And his life was just getting turned around. And now all of a sudden, to add injury onto this, he wasn't allowed to have a gun. Some domestic violence, something in the past. Well, when they came to his house, when the baby died, he was frantic and found there was a gun in the house, cuffed him and put him in jail. Now they're saying, well, he can come to the funeral, but he's got to wear the handcuffs. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, babies everywhere. Now we got a situation today where, and so I just told him last night, I said, you people need to lift us all in prayer tomorrow. Not only for this baby's funeral, but for the Tennessee 10 tomorrow. So I just told him the seriousness of this, you know what I mean? So that's where we're at. This little six-month-old baby, she was beautiful. I mean, just. So we're going into a family, and a lot of this family here is not, they're ungodly. And they know me and Mary Jane very well. As a matter of fact, they told us 2 years ago, one of the family members had a funeral. They forbid Mary Jane to even come to the funeral. You know what I mean? So I don't know what's going to happen today, but we're going in and trying do what we can do, be there to come for comfort for these people. So,
amen, Ben. Yeah. I don't know how you ever get comfort at that.
Yeah.
It all does. Amen. Look, folks, I feel, Rochelle, real quickly, then we're going to pray. We're going to pray for the Tennessee 10.
No, Coach, let's just pray. Let's just pray.
So, folks, I'm going to open and then just join in as you see fit. Lord, you told us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, woman, availeth much. And I'd be honest and tell you, I don't even know what that means. But Lord, we know this. We know that you said in your word that you put your word above your name. I'm sorry. Put your name above your word, because if your name is no good, your word is no good. So, Father, we just ask that you would move supernaturally on behalf of those in Tennessee who are being sentenced. All of them, folks. Lord, all of them. All of those being sentenced for the Bill Dumfries and the J6s, Lord. Let justice roll down like a mighty river, Lord Jesus. Set the captives free. The word says that you love justice and righteousness, Lord. We ask that you would make yourself known on behalf of those innocent ones today, Lord. Let it be done, Father. We pray for comfort for their families. Even right now, the Bible says that the heart of the king is as water in the hand of the Lord. You move it wherever you were. And Lord, right now, you have that king's, that judge's heart in your hand. Move it towards mercy and grace. In Jesus' name.
Lord, we pray you will open the eyes of people that are deceived and will not open their eyes to the fact that vaccines are evil and abortion is evil, Lord. And yeah, we ask forgiveness, Lord, for this, these things that we want to happen, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Father God, we are in agreement with your will. We speak your word over these cases, these court decisions that's coming up right today. And Father God, we are in agreement with what you're going to do. But Father, we pray that justice and righteousness will flow from this, and that every judge, anybody on the wrong side of what you're doing, God, will bring their judgment, will fall on them, and that you will prevail. Your plan will prevail. The glory will come to you, Father God. We are in agreement with this, and we believe that this is what you're going to do today, in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. All God's people said amen. Amen. Just be in prayer about that today. Let me share some selfish news with you here real quickly. It's good. It's good news. There's as many of you know, I do a show on Bridey on every Monday. A lot of times we tape the morning show and play it at 11 o'clock on Bridey on. And there's a lot of changes that are going on at Bridey on because the model just isn't working for them from a financial standpoint. A lot of stuff. I've got a lot of people that are watching, but the finances behind it, yada, yada, yada. So they're changing their format at Brighteon. Brighteon is still there, but it's been run differently. And so yesterday, thanks to Spencer and the guys at All the Tech, they got a hold of Brighteon because Brighteon is now setting up what they call a self-streaming. I don't even know how it works. I don't even know how it does. And beginning here in the next couple of days, probably by the first of the week, once we get the okay and everything, we will stream every morning live on the Brighteon network. And we don't have to tape it anymore. They're going to take Coach Dave live, and it's going to stream at 7 a.m. Eastern time every morning that we're on the air.
Amen.
And that's just access to another audience. God bless Mike Adams and Bob Denny and all those who are down there that are doing the best they can to try to get the word out. You know, I don't know if you know this or not. The Brighteon is censored. They're not on Facebook. They're not on YouTube. Brighteon, it's amazing. It's amazing that they won't let the truth get out there. But Mike Adams and the boys are still continuing to work hard on it. And now they're doing what they call, Spencer could probably explain it better than me, but it's free streaming. They give us a code. We log into the code and we are going to begin streaming live on the Brighteon network. Spencer, did I explain that right? Yeah, he gave me a thumbs up. So that's what's going on. So we thank God for open doors. And folks, look, keep telling your friends and neighbors. Keep telling them. We got to awaken people. We have to awaken people to understand exactly what it is going on. There's so many of them stuck in cognitive dissonance. I had more I could have played on that. And it's just not on medical stuff. It's religious. It's spiritual. So much they're telling us isn't true. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. And the truth, if you know it, shall make you free. We thank God for open doors. We believe God is going to do a miracle in Tennessee today, that the captives are going to be set free, in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep praying, folks. See you tomorrow.